Good afternoon. This is Tim Moose, Chief Deputy Secretary for Adult Correction and Juvenile Justice. I'm here with Todd Ishii, Commissioner of Prisons, and we are available to answer your questions. I think that you have seen the press release concerning our prison operations and address steps that we've taken to address the COVID-19 pandemic, and also Secretary Hooks's comments and answers to some questions from earlier today and earlier during this week as well. I want to thank you for this opportunity. I would be remiss if I also didn't thank our staff across adult correction and juvenile justice statewide that are on the front lines working very hard every day to ensure our safety and the safety of the folks that we supervise, as well as safety of our staff and our citizens at large. At this time, we will take any questions you have. I would ask that you state your name and the agency that you represent. Thank you very much.
So for our reporters on the line, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question will be from Jonathan Drew with the Associated Press.
Can you just thanks. This is Jonathan Drew from the Associated Press. Can you just update us on the exact number of positive inmate tests at New CI? And also, Secretary Hooks said that 98% of new cases were asymptomatic. Can you give us an exact number of how many positive tests are asymptomatic right now? Thank you.
Hi, this is Todd Ishii. As of 3 o'clock today, 259 offenders at News Correctional have tested positive for COVID-19. There are approximately 98% that are asymptomatic. Could you repeat the second part of your question, sir?
So 98% of that 259 are asymptomatic. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next question, please.
Our next question is from Sharon McBrayer with the Morganton News Herald.
Hi, this is Sharon McBrayer. I'm with the News Herald in Morganton. I have two questions, actually. My understanding is that there was a cadet training class going on during the governor's stay-at-home order of more than 10 cadets at the Western Foothills Training Center in Valdez. And I had learned that a cadet tested positive there, and that the cadets in the class were told on the last day after they took the test that the cadet tested positive. So I want confirmation on that. And my second question is, why was a cadet training class of more than 10 taking place during the stay-at-home order?
Okay, those are excellent questions. Thank you very much. The training has continued after a two-week hiatus about a month ago. Training started back in a commuter-style approach. That class that you're referencing had a total of 30 staff total, but they were separated out for social distancing and following all the CDC guidelines and the guidelines that we're operating under right now. They were spaced out and trained in the appropriate manner. We've also made adjustments with our training staff in how they deliver the training and the tactics that they use. There's a PPE that is used in the course of that training. Cadets are screened for temperature. Our training operations are considered essential business. As you know, our prison system, as well as areas of juvenile justice and community corrections, have had vacancy issues for a while, and being able to continue to recruit and hire and provide basic training, granted in a very different way than we've been accustomed to providing it, but it is essential for our staffing at all of our facilities and in some other areas of our operation. There was one of the employee cadets that has tested positive, to the best of my information, from that class. That person was not present for part of the class, but in an abundance of caution, we're following all the health guidelines and quarantine and are providing tests for all our training staff as well as those employee cadets. Okay, next question, please.
Next question is from Anthony Wilson with ABC 11.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, can you confirm the number of staff at Neuse Correctional who tested positive and whether they are in the hospital now or asymptomatic and just sheltering?
Hi, this is Todd Ishii. Currently at Neuse, we've had 8 staff report to us that they have tested positive. They are off duty and at their residence under care of their physician.
Our next question is from Ames Alexander with the Charlotte Observer.
Yes, hi. Can you tell us how many of the inmates at Neuse are currently hospitalized for COVID-19 and what their conditions are?
Hi, Ames. This is Todd again. Currently from the Neuse Correctional Institution, there are 0 offenders that are hospitalized.
Next question, please.
Our next question is from Nick Oxner with WBTV.
Hi, this is Nick Oxner at WBTV. I actually have 3 questions, so I'll just list them all now for you. The first would be a follow-up on the cadet that was exposed to COVID-19. You just said that they were provided testing, but the letter that the cadets got yesterday actually instructs them to go find their own testing at a provider. So I'm wondering why they actually weren't provided testing. They also, the cadets in the class, tell me that they were not keeping social distancing and they weren't provided PPE until halfway through their 2-hour exam yesterday. Finally, at the end of question 1, hoping you can address why the cadets were still made to take the 2-hour exam and then given the letter notifying them that they'd been exposed to a COVID-19 patient. Question 2 would be, why were inmates transferred out of the Burke CRV this week? If you can provide some background on that and what was done to keep them quarantined away from other inmates at the institution where they were transferred to. And finally, question 3, we've gotten multiple reports from multiple prisons across the state where corrections officers have been exposed to inmates with possible COVID-19 infections and were told they were still to report to work, and alternatively have reported having symptoms consistent with COVID-19 while on the job but have not been offered any medical assistance from the medical staff at the prisons and have not been allowed to leave their posts. So hoping you can address that as well.
Nick, this is Todd. I'm going to address question 2 and 3, and then Mr. Moose is going to circle back on question number 1. Relative to the Burke CRV, it was inmates were transferred, offenders were transferred from there as part of our overarching contingency planning efforts. We had the need to have a facility that is ready to accept other offenders, so that was just part of our contingency planning effort. We may or may not need to use that facility, but wanted to have it ready. On question number 3, contrary to the reports that you're receiving, the direction we've given is for all of our staff, if they do not feel good or they're symptomatic, they should stay home. We are strictly following the CDC guidelines. We're screening everybody when they come to work. So if somebody does not feel good, we are asking them to go home and seek medical attention from their healthcare provider.
Okay, in terms of question number one, I will have to follow back up with our training director to get specific information in terms of what you said. Training with proper social distancing in smaller groups is allowable. It is part of our essential operation, and I will follow up and get you the information concerning the first part of your question. Thank you very much. Next question, please.
Our next question is from Julian Grace with WRAL-TV.
Hey, good evening, fellas. Thank you for taking my call. Once again, this is Julian Grace from WRAL. Have a couple of questions. One part I missed, and I apologize for that. Todd, I think you made reference to possibly zero offenders hospitalized at NEWS. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I got that correct. And then my question is, with the 98% that's asymptomatic, what does that mean, symptomatic rather, what does that mean for other prisons in North Carolina? Can you guys use that same blueprint to do something different there?
Well, we're working through that, but, you know, that's evidence that there may be other offenders that are ill but not showing the symptoms. So we are working very closely today with Department of Health officials and going to put that into our contingency planning efforts as we move forward. But, you know, we did learn a lot from and are learning a lot from the proactive initiative that we launched at NEWS. I think we're going to learn a lot, and it's going to help us as we continue to plan moving forward.
Next question, please.
At this point, I don't see any additional reporter hands raised. If you'd like to ask a question, press 1 on your phone. Let's go to Melissa Botten from NC Policy Watch.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have a couple questions also. One, are you all planning on doing this widespread of testing at other facilities given the results at this facility? And also, given the results and how widespread it is, are you all considering expanding the offenders who you're going to be considering for release or early release or at-home monitoring or any of those alternative to detention facilities or options? And then the third question is, have there been any reported cases? We've heard about some concern about the women's prison and potentially people there who've been exposed but not tested. Are there any concerns? Have there been any women inmates who've tested positive, and are there any concerns about that facility?
Okay, in terms of the releases and the extended limits of confinement and the other types of releases, we have been in the process of working on that since February. There have been over 2,200 offenders released in March, some of whom were released due to the awarding of discretionary credits. There have been over 1,250 released so far during the month of April. 29 of those, by the end of today anyway, 29 of those will have been through the release that process that we had talked about earlier, looking at first pregnant offenders age 65 and older with health conditions, female offenders age 50 and older with health conditions on a release date in 2020, offenders in general over age 65 with release dates in 2020, and offenders already on home leave and in work release programs with release dates in 2020. Our staff are working around the clock to go through those lists and to set up release plans and set up the reentry process. It's an ongoing process that will continue with an overriding look at public safety and not releasing anyone who have committed a crime against a person or a violent crime. Um,
Hi, this is Todd, and I can answer your question about NCCIW. Currently, at that facility, one employee has reported that they have tested positive for COVID-19. They are off work and at home under care of their physician, and we have had two offenders at that facility that have tested positive for COVID-19.
And the first part of your question, in terms of planning for potential other tests, we are actively engaged with our partners at the Department of Health and Human Services and looking at a plan for how and when we would test at other facility locations, including offenders and employees. Next question, please.
Our next question is from Jalen Gilkey with WFMY-TV, Greensboro.
Yes, how you guys doing today? Jalen Gilkey, WFMY. Just two follow-up questions, trying to see that you said that you all had 259 offenders at Noose that tested positive. Trying to see what zero offenders hospitalized. I'm trying to see what is the plan. Is there like a quarantine or how is that being handled?
Sure. This is Todd. We do have a plan at the facility. It involves separating those that test negative from those that test positive. We will put in quarantine processes at the facility. We're envisioning all of the offenders remaining at Noose so that we can kind of aggressively deal with this and stamp out the problem at Noose and control it from spreading any further throughout the prison system. If there are inmates that require advanced level care that can't be provided there, we have a couple options. One is the Central Prison Hospital, and then for extreme health conditions, emergencies, would be transported to a hospital for care. As I said earlier, this is a proactive initiative that we have instituted. We want to be very aggressive. We are learning from this. If any transports are required, all the offenders will be screened using CDC guidelines and temperatures before they are sent out and upon return or receipt at their new facility. This is a very challenging situation for our staff at Noose. I think our staff are responding to the call of public service. They're really unsung heroes in the criminal justice system here in North Carolina. This is a high concentration of positives, and I don't think any of us can thank our staff enough for their commitment to public safety. With reference to the earlier question about Burke CRV, if all those offenders before they were transferred out were screened and put into quarantine, medical quarantine conditions upon reception at their new facility as well.
Okay, next question, please.
Our next question is from Cole Del Charco with North Carolina Public Radio.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I was actually going to ask what the process looked like for quarantining. So I wonder if you can get a little bit more specific. I'm thankful for you already answering that, but can you get any more specific about what it looks like to separate inmates from each other, and how are you going to make sure also that guards and other prison facility workers will not be potentially spreading this outside of the system?
Sure. Our staff are our priority, and they are all adequately outfitted with PPE. We are doing screening and temperature checks as they come into work. So we're doing everything we can. And again, this is a very difficult situation, but we're doing everything we can to protect our staff. We are cleaning and sanitizing. We've recently purchased mass disinfectant dispersion systems that we are optimistic will help our already ongoing efforts. We've equipped the offenders with masks. Our staff all have masks.
There's a comprehensive list on our DPS website. But getting back to your original question, medical isolation and medical quarantine, at cell facilities, it's a little bit easier, you know, where we can place the offender into a cell that has a door and its own individual restroom. So that's what it looks like at a cell facility. At a dormitory facility such as NUS, it is a little bit more challenging. So there we have men that are broken up and confined into smaller dorms. They do have immediate access to restroom facilities, but what we're doing is putting the positives together. And then as they progress through the illness and are verified by our healthcare experts that they are recovered, then they would be transitioned back out into a general population setting.
Okay, next question, please.
At this time, we have another question from Ames Alexander with the Charlotte Observer.
Can you tell us how many inmates and staff across the system have tested positive so far?
Yes, I can. So our staff total as of this afternoon is 30 staff at 15 different sites. And the total for, and again, that is based on self-report. So we cannot confirm that is exactly right. We're at the mercy of what our staff choose to share with us. Our total for the whole system of offenders, that this is spread across 9 different prisons in our prison system, is 281. Ames, I think it's just important for us all to note and understand that, especially because of the mass testing at NUS Correctional, the numbers are changing by the day and as of lately by the hour.
Okay, next question, please.
Our next question is a second question from Sharon McBrayer at the News Herald in Morganton.
Yes, so Foothill CI, of the 281 cases of inmates across 9 prisons, I know that there was one staff member at least at Foothills who tested positive. Have there been any other positives there at Foothills?
Hi, this is Todd. As of this afternoon, we are only aware of one employee at Foothills Correctional that is off work. And again, it was a self-report.
Okay, we'll take one more question, and we appreciate everyone's patience and this opportunity to provide this time with you.
Our final question will be from Melissa Botten with NC Policy Watch.
Hi again. Can you say how many total of that 281 are hospitalized or have been hospitalized, and have there been any deaths?
Hi, this is Todd. We have a total of 6 offenders out of our approximately 34,000 offenders that are hospitalized related to COVID-19, and I am happy to report that we have had 0 offender deaths and 0 staff deaths related to COVID-19.
Okay, and just one follow-up in terms of a question earlier about the students at the training location in Valdez. Testing was provided to everyone at the Burke Health Department this morning. Again, we thank you very much for this opportunity, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future.
Okay.